Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Don't even talk to Bulldog about weed. Has that changed? Kim, is that another one of these things that, you know, used to be a problem, but now you'll allow it?
No, the context of don't even talking about weed was getting into selling it. I think it was like the tail end of the farm rant about hops, how we missed the boat on hops.
Oh, wow.
And the potential legalization of weed, we could have been in on the ground floor growing weed for legal sale. I think that was the point. So don't even talk to me about the opportunity we missed legally selling marijuana. That was what that was.
That rant just keeps on giving.
And I still don't want to hear about it. Because there's the people that are in on that are going to be all set.
Interesting, even in these challenging times.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog, thanks for listening. Joining us now on the Wester Hotline is Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus. You can follow Mike at PFF underscore Mike. Mike, how are you holding up these days?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Are you in Cincinnati? What's Cincinnati like right now?
Yeah, I'm in Cincinnati here. It hasn't had too many cases, I don't believe so, but it is locked down like pretty much the rest of the country here.
Okay, well, good to hear, I guess, that they're being smart there. So how about your preparations and insight into the draft coming up, Mike? We're, what, less than 3 weeks away now from round one? What's been different about this year, and you know, how have you been able to adjust and do your job?
Well, no pro days has been really different. Actually, at the combine, not a lot of guys tested either. So it's kind of interesting because you're not going to have 40s on a lot of these guys. You're not going to have three cones. You're not going to have that full athletic profile that you got in years past. Now, I think a lot of agents are having their guys run independently and do all that stuff independently and then sending that on to teams. But we as the media aren't going to be able to talk about it. So there's not a lot of new news breaking now, you know, any sort of draft stuff happening that's relevant. So I think this is a year that the teams are really going to have to trust the tape, and, you know, evaluators are going to have to trust the tape rather than the underwear Olympics.
Yeah, what I like about that, I think, is really interesting, is just to whatever extent there's ever been a divide between the, well, I want to watch them play, but I also want to know if he ran a 4.35, and just how much, like, to a detriment teams might penalize a guy who doesn't run a 4.4 but looks good on tape. You know, like, maybe it'll all come out in the wash, and it won't be any different than ever, I guess, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think all it does is really give GMs an excuse this year for being bad. You know, it gives them an excuse for missing on picks this year as opposed to any other year when it's really, you know, they get all that information. This year they can say, hey, we didn't get it, so that's why I missed.
One thing that's been said that I like the logic of is that maybe there'd be more good players that don't get drafted. And if teams, I don't know, maybe teams will be hindered in some way as to how many of those guys they can sign and what their usual process is, or maybe not. But, you know, you might have more guys that turn out to be good players despite not having been picked than in another given year.
Yeah, I think you will see. So I think you'll see guys with, like, off-field character concerns and maybe with injuries fall because teams don't want to take that risk. Teams don't want to, you know, you're not going to be able to get that medical recheck, not be able to get that guy in your building who maybe, you know, has an arrest in his past or something. So you're just not going to take that chance, and then he falls out of the draft, and you know, maybe he has actually changed. Maybe that injury has actually healed. And, well, he's a good football player, but just kind of got screwed by the circumstance. So I think you'll see a number of those guys, maybe not go completely UDFAs, but I think you'll see some of the guys with those red flags that could get vetted in any other draft still be, you know, good players late in, you know, maybe day three.
Mike, to the point you made first about how the combine isn't there to, if you will, rearrange like teams' boards, or the combine was, but then the pro days and everything, what's been limited. Can you think of a player or two that most of us would know about, maybe like a first round pick type of guy, where that would be good or bad for? You know, maybe one of these running backs, hypothetically, is somebody that what the production was not there, or vice versa, you know, based on what kind of his times might be. Who is this good or bad for, if you think of anybody?
I think it's bad for a guy like Laviska Shenault, Colorado wide receiver. He goes to the combine, runs slower than expected because he pulls up lame with a groin injury on his first one, has surgery a few days later, and teams just aren't going to really know, you know, how massive that surgery, like how he's recovering from that surgery. You're not going to be able to go have your doctor check him out, bring him in for a visit, see how that's recovering. And, you know, has on tape, he looks like he runs a 4.4. On tape, he looks explosive, but are you going to be willing to risk that in the first round when he ran a 4.59 at the combine and has had, you know, multiple surgeries now in the past year? I think he's a guy who, if he, you know, in another year, if he got full clean and bill of health before the combine, could go in the first round, but that's just not going to be feasible for a lot of teams to vet so this year. So I do think he's a guy who could slip.
There are probably teams out there that are rooting for that, right? Like, nothing personal to the kid, but that'd be really great someone that they think is super talented is going to drop because of the timing of his injury and all this inability to revisit medicals and whatnot. Like, some team is might end up pretty happy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the nature of the business, is you root for guys almost to make less money so they fall to you, and you root for them to have more team favorable contracts and free agency, that sort of thing. That's kind of the whole you know, odd dichotomy of this, is that, you know, for the team perspective, underpaying a guy or getting him value later in the draft is great. From the player's perspective, maybe not as much, but yeah, you are probably, there are probably a lot of teams in the second round who are going to be passing on receiver in the first round that could use one, that would love for his name to be still be there.
Mm-hmm. Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus at PFF_Mike. Well, the Bills traded their first-round pick, so we don't have that exactly to ask you about. But your thoughts on Stephon Diggs in this offense, and what that, you know, doing that versus, say, drafting a receiver at 22, for instance.
So, yes, you gave up, you know, first-rounder, and yes, you have to pay him a good deal, but the upshot is you draft a guy at 22, maybe he becomes Stephon Diggs, not even next year, maybe in like 3 years, is he becomes as good as Stephon Diggs. Like, he's already, you know, a polished route runner, already, you know, well-versed in the little things it takes to become a good NFL receiver. And as good as a receiver class as this is, the chances of having a guy who's even, you know, a 900 to 1,000-yard receiver at 22, it's just pretty slim. Like, it's still hard to hit on those guys. Like, there's still that inherent risk of drafting, even in a loaded wide receiver class like this one is. So, you have a roster built to win, and you have a roster that, you know, doesn't have a lot of holes after you did trade for Stephon Diggs. So I can see the logic behind it, and they're a much, much better team for it.
And Diggs, in your mind, is he's a bona fide number one receiver, or is he like a notch below that?
It's always difficult to call a guy, you know, the distinction between number one and a number two. He gets open. That's all I know. Like, he doesn't have the normal number one traits of size, maybe strength, but he gets open in the most valuable area of the football field, and that's down the field. And you already got a guy like that in John Brown, and now having two guys like that, you just create so many mismatched weapons for opposing defenses. And I don't necessarily believe in needing a bunch of different types of wide receivers. You have two guys that are very similar and do, you know, one thing really well, which is win down the football field. Well, and an opposing defense has a slow cornerback, all of a sudden they're screwed, because that slow cornerback is going to have to match up with a guy that runs a 4.4 and or to sub 4.4, and that could turn out poorly for that corner. You just can't play certain coverages then.
With Mike Renner. So, Mike, this is sort of a new reality for us, talking about the Bills as maybe just about a co-favorite in the AFC East. That is what the odds are looking like. I guess this is some form of the Josh Allen question, all capitals, that you might have been bracing for. Like, what are you on board with that? Do you see this team as likely to make the playoffs, or maybe overhyped, or just what?
No, like I said, it's difficult to find a need on this roster right now. Like, it's a very complete roster from top to bottom. There's no problem spots, you know, that other, you know, opposing defense, opposing offenses could really attack. Now, that doesn't all of a sudden mean you're Super Bowl favorites just because you don't have a weakness. They do have areas where they could and should improve. And the one that just has to improve is Josh Allen. Like, he just has to throw the ball more accurately this year. They need to run that. You just need to pass in today's NFL to win. And we see it with Patrick Mahomes. We just see it like you need to have a high-level passing offense. So it really is. They've done a really good job there of putting all the pieces around him. This really is kind of a make-or-break year. If it doesn't kind of light switch doesn't flip this year, they put as much as they possibly could around him. I'm not sure you can get a more complete roster to help him out.
Do you think they might still have a hole at, like, pass-catching running back? T.J. Yeldon is here, and he's done that in the league, but it wasn't something that really got off the ground last year. He was inactive often. And you've got a question of whether or not in this offense with Josh Allen as your quarterback, whether or not you want to have him throw into running backs or not.
Yeah, pass-catching running back is not – that's the thing. You don't really want to be throwing to them. You want to be throwing the ball down the field. You want – guys who can get open and provide those high-value plays to your offense. And, yes, it's nice to have a guy, but all you really need is a guy who won't drop the ball on swing passes and screen passes to operate an effective offense. And I think Yeldon's more than capable enough of that. And I do also think, though, you should take those swings in the fourth, fifth round pretty much every year at the running back position with how injury-prone they are, how limited their career spans are. So I do think that they could use that, and later in the draft would be probably smart of them to do.
Yeah, would that be your prediction for them with Singletary here and Yeldon? Would your prediction for them be that they do that at running back, not like second round or not no one?
Yeah, I would say much later in the draft. Guys like maybe Antonio Gibson out of Memphis or other guys down there later who do have hands would probably be my guess, because Singletary is, Singletary does have pretty bad hands. As far as even go, he's not the guy you want to be throwing a lot of swing passes to.
How about for the top running back? Are you on Team Jonathan Taylor? And do you have, whoever you pick for this, do you have a favorite team fit for them? Hearing recently about Tampa, like Tampa kind of advertised pass-catching running back, whether that's Edwards-Helaire or someone else, I don't know. But what do you like for like an outcome for the top running backs here?
I actually have DeAndre Swift at the top of my rankings, and it's because kind of what we just mentioned, pass catching ability. He has and can split out wide, run receiver routes, get open against linebackers. That's just what you need in today's NFL. Like, there's a lot of guys who can do a lot of things similarly between the tackles and as runners, but there's not a lot of guys really moving the needle in the passing game, and those are the guys that should be and I would covet at the NFL level. So DeAndre Swift has that. Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin running back, really doesn't. He's really been limited in that regard over the course of his career at Wisconsin. So I do like Tampa Bay as a fit for him in terms of, Tom Brady utilizes those backs out of the backfield on angle routes, that sort of thing. I would also love to see the Colts attack a running back, too, with how, complete their roster is. I think he would be a really good fit for Phillip Rivers, seeing, how much he threw to Austin Eckler last year. I think that would be a fit there as well.
I like that. By the way, I like that too. Like I'm a Marlon Mack owner in Dynasty, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like I like Reich so much, Mike. There, mm-hmm. that
that was great.
Right? Like there should. I want to see one or two more pieces on that offense, skill position wise.
I think that's where they go. I mean, they did the trade for Buckner. I think they go offense. Because I think it's almost like an all-in this year after they gave up their first rounder to go all in with Phillip Rivers, because they do have a pretty good roster in their own right.
Mike Renner with us from Pro Football Focus. What do you like 1-5 in this draft? I mean, Burrow is kind of almost a given. Do you see a trade for one of the other quarterbacks or what?
I'm pretty sure there will be a trade, and I feel. I don't know if it's going to be up to number 2 or number 3. I would imagine the Redskins still take Chase Young. But I think there will be a trade because the Chargers, they can't go into a new stadium out in L.A. with Tyrod Taylor as their starting quarterback. Guy's been benched the last two stops. No knock against him. He's, you know, still probably one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the NFL, but he's right about at 32. He still probably deserves a starting job, but that's not the guy you want really leading your franchise. You can do better than that, and they're going to give up the farm, in my opinion, to try to go up and get Tua. And now the Dolphins have as much draft, have the most draft capital. They can go up and get whoever they want after Burrow if they really want to, but I'm not sure they're going to want to. But I think someone's going to move up to three, so I'd say it goes Burrow, Young, someone takes Tua, Giants take Mekhi Becton. I'm just guessing just because of Dave Gettleman's draft history and what he loves, big dudes who can move. And then I think the Dolphins are the ones who do move up to get Tua, and I think Jeffrey Okuda goes to the Lions then, wherever they do trade down to.
What about Justin Herbert?
I think that's the kind of he's the bridesmaid in all this. Whoever doesn't get Tua ends up with Herbert here between the Dolphins.
And that could maybe be the Chargers, right?
Yeah.
All right.
And what are your feelings on him as a prospect, as a comparison? Like, is he absolutely third and a distant third when it comes to Burrow and Tagovailoa?
Yes. I think he's a far distant third. And it's just, right, he's been playing now for 4 years. I mean, he's been starting at Oregon for 4 years. And he's making the same mistakes and the same sort of issues keep coming up. And you need to see guys fix. You need to see guys improve. Like, he's had the cannon for an arm, and he's been accurate for 4 years. Why has it not gotten better? Why did he never dominate? He had a great O-line at Oregon. No excuse from that perspective. It's just the consistency. It's just not there. And I think you're banking on a lot of things having to change at the next level that we haven't seen change over 4 years at Oregon. So that's scary to me when you're drafting a guy like that in the top five. I'd probably still take a chance on him maybe end of the first round, but that's about as high as I would reasonably want to draft him.
Couple of minutes.
With all that said, do you like Jordan Love better than him?
I don't like Love either, to be honest.
Okay.
I like Love. No, I like Herbert better than Love. Love's just he's just so inconsistent with his, whether it's his footwork, his accuracy, just a lot of different things to where I don't know if you go from being inconsistent to consistent. Like, I think it's almost an inbuilt trait of his that he is inconsistent with a lot, like I said, footwork, decision-making, where he goes with the football. I don't know. I just don't know what to do with that. And having just taken as big a step back as he did last year would really scare me.
What about Jalen Hurts? Are you a believer in that player, that idea?
I think there's an offense where he can succeed. And so my comp for him, you know, in the PFF draft guide was Tyrod Taylor. And that, like, Tyrod Taylor ran top 12 offenses for back-to-back years in Buffalo at one point. Like, there, if you go run heavy and with his legs and what he can do, like, that is a modern – there's a path to success for that in the NFL offensively. I just think he's so limited as a passer, though. Like, he doesn't have the downfield accuracy that Tyrod Taylor did. And I don't even think Tyrod Taylor was, like, that accurate down the football field. But I don't think Jalen Hurts has really been inaccurate. I'm not on board with him as, you know, a top two-round kind of guy.
One more from me, Mike. Wide receiver. We're asking, I mean, everybody. It's one of the great topics within this draft is the top of the class at wide receiver. How many guys are on your top tier, and is it, like, really defined for you?
So my top tier would just be two guys. I think Jerry Jeudy from Alabama and CeeDee Lamb from Oklahoma are day one, surefire, could do everything in the NFL. Like, they're, you know, 1,000 yards right out the gate. I would take those guys, you know, top 5, 10 in any other draft. Like, I think they're that good. And then after that, there's kind of, I think Henry Ruggs is, to me, in his own tier in that he's just too special of an athlete to not be some sort of weapon on a football field. You know, he to not at least pose, like, be strike fear in opposing defenses and make jobs easier for everyone else on the football field with how he just can't be covered in a straight line one-on-one with that sort of speed. So he's kind of in his own tier after that. And then there's that third tier that was kind of where Buffalo would have been picking, mm-hmm. where it's guys you don't feel quite as comfortable, have, you know, some sort of red flag or some sort of concerns about them, but are all crazy talented. And like I said, there's probably about five guys in that tier that I'd all put in the first round conversation. I'll be comfortable drafting in the first round, but just aren't quite as don't feel quite as strongly about it as Ruggs and Jeudy.
All right,
How do you
it.
Feel about the tight end class, Mike? I mean, last year we had Fant and Hockenson, and it was pretty hot to talk about them, and I think we even spent some time thinking about whether Buffalo would be a fit for either one of those guys. They ended up with Dawson Knox, who's, I think, got some promise, but still has a ways to go to become a real producer. There's not even really a first-round tight end in this class, is there?
I think it's a really bad tight end class. I don't even have a second-round tight end in this class. That's how bad it is. I think the first one on the PFF draft board somewhere in the 70s. It's just, there's not, and the bad part is about it is the guys who are the best receivers, in my opinion, are all like very much tweeners, under, you know, well under 250 pounds sort of guys, to where that's really just not really tight end anymore in the NFL. No one's going to respect you as a blocker, and no one's going to match up just because you bring him out on the field as a tight end. No one's going to, you know, bring on that extra linebacker to match up with you. They're just going to say, hey, yeah, try to run out of that tight end. No one's really going to respect that. So those undersized guys kind of don't present the same matchup weapons that maybe they did about a decade ago.
Fant and Hockenson. Bulldog, your boyfriend Sternberger as well last year. You were
right.
Talking a lot about him.
Jace Sternberger.
Green Bay.
Right.
Very mm-hmm. good. Mike, thank you so much. Best of luck to you and everyone at PFF. We always love talking to you.
For sure, fellow. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Mike Renner at PFF _ Mike. For him, I got something to say about the Bills later.
Okay. Well, we got time.
We have Evan Abrams next.
Oh, yes, of course.
And maybe after that.
We can't do that now. I mean, God forbid you make a point about the Bills while Evan's on.
I'll make it right now, and then we can discuss it.
Okay.
For all the credit that Bean and McDermott, especially Bean here, gets for how they have built that roster, it's almost like from everybody. Why wouldn't you assume they would pivot off Allen? Like, at a certain early point, earlier than you would expect. You know? Like, if you... So they drafted him, and they did a pretty traditional thing, right? They they cleared space for him. They planned it out a year ahead. They put him in earlier than they wanted, but so be it. In year two, they were double digits wins in the playoffs. You know, they're spending, they're building, like, they know they don't get forever. And this is not to predict that they will want to. This is just to say, if you think that they're all that for how they've built that roster, like everybody thinks they've done a really smart job with it, then maybe they would do something about it. Now, what that is, you're going to say after this year, then they would be ready to do that or could be ready to do that. And they haven't done it yet. So right. What am I actually saying? Like during the season? No, I'm not really specific about this. I mean this as a compliment to them. That if... You know, they don't have to just play him forever. They don't have to. And they will talk like they have every bit of confidence in him, right? Like, because that's how teams talk.
Of course, right. Yeah. They could. I mean, look, there is, I think, despite, like, you're right. I will say it's not time for that. It's not time for their version of Ryan Tannehill. That is a point that is very much to me up for debate. Like, I just happen to feel like there's no way, A, they will do that, so it's an easy thing for me to say, but you could come at me, I think, pretty hard saying they should, because it's not even, I mean, we tend to think of it in terms of their confidence in him and what they would be signaling if they signed Cam Newton, say, right? Or traded for Andy Dalton to be Allen's backup. It would, you know, it might shake the foundation of the organization, but you know, Allen could show up here in July and step wrong and be out for the year. And then what good is your well-built roster? You know, I mean, you'd get to take, in the current circumstances, your Matt Barkley. I don't want to put it too strongly, but your faith in Matt Barkley would. I was going to go with love affair. I stopped. I was going to take that out for a good spin. I mean, that's what would happen if status quo is what we get, and I still think that's what we'll get. But you could argue that they should do more. If you're that fully formed a roster, I think you'd want to make sure you're better than Matt Barkley at backup quarterback. Maybe.
But they haven't. Right. Let's take a break. Evan Abrams, Action Network. There's action out there, and this is the guy to call to find out what it is. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Thanks for listening. Happy Friday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here with Evan Abrams now on the Westher Hotline on Twitter at Evan H. Abrams. Evan, we've known each other for a while now. What's the H stand for? I feel like I can ask you.
Oh, you got, first of all, 100% can always ask me. It's Harrison. I love my middle name.
Harrison. Is it a family name?
It's not. I mean, it just, you know, it kind of just fit from what I was told. You know, it just, you know, worked in between Evan and Abrams real well, so they stick with it.
I'm bummed out. I had a bet on it being for Homeboy.
Homeboy.
Oh, wow. Man, listen, that was a long shot, though. You guys should have had that. That would have been fun. Little 1-120, +210.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what's the favorite going to be, like Howard or something. What would be the favorite name for an H?
Well, listen, you just nailed my dad's name. So well done there.
All right, I would have lost, but that's good. All right, so one thing that I read about today. Now I know you sent, and you're great to do this. You send Joe what you're sort of on your mind. Let's just start with that. Actually, I'm gonna backpedal. So we're talking about this NBA video game tournament tonight. Kevin Durant is maybe the favorite or one of the favorites. How is this going to work?
Yeah, so what's going on right now is these players are going to play one-on-one against each other as teams, not as one-on-one players. And they're going to be playing on legal sites out there with pools like DraftKings has, you know, like a $1,000 pool where you can, you know, pick who's going to win and this and that. And some of those other books out there also have like odds on, you know, this team to cover by 1.5 or 2.5 or, you know, based on how they've, you know, played in the past. I mean, who knows, right? I mean, this is a simulation where two guys are playing a video game against each other, you know. Kevin Durant being an underdog in a video game, you know, may not be a shock to many if you know this area, but it's going to get a ton of views. It's really going to get a lot of promotion, obviously being on ESPN, and you know, all these different companies now are kind of doing this NBA 2K simulation idea. You know, Sport Radar is doing it. All sorts of different companies. So, I mean, I think it's probably the most interesting thing to get the players involved right now. I know on the Action Network side, we're doing a similar type of tournament where, you know, we're betting with each other and this and that on a one-on-one tournament, which we're putting on Twitch and Twitter. So I think a lot of other companies are just trying the same thing in this climate.
So they are playing as their teams against the other players' teams?
Yeah,
Yeah, it's teams. It's team-based. So okay. I mean, each of these different players are, you know, selecting different squads, and I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be, you know, you have to really enjoy that, though, right? I mean, it's a different type of watching, and it's almost like a celebrity all-star game type feel with the players because you're going to see some of their personalities. And I think it's going to be more about that than it is going to be the action itself, but, you know, we're going to have to see. Definitely taking a step in a different direction, right?
Yeah, for sure. That's where we're at. Evan Abrams with us here from the Action Network on WGR. Also, the push-up challenge has been something you can bet on.
Yeah, listen, yesterday we did something a little extraordinary. So we have our co-founder of Fantasy Lab, Jonathan Bales, who a pretty in-shape guy, if you take a Google. But he yesterday did a challenge that started at 11 a.m. live on our Twitch and Action Network, where he did 2,400 push-ups in 12 hours. And the whole thing was streamed live. And the bet was for $2,000 for him personally, but from what was told, there was about $1 million in bets on side action on all sorts of different people. The stream had, you know, 1,000 people. It was, you know, absolutely crazy. So, I mean, that's the type of entertainment. Let me tell you can go see it online. It was some of the, I mean, it's a great physical feat, first of all.
Yes. Like,
when you think about the wager in itself, it's like, okay, doing that many push-ups in that amount of time and having to time it out, you know, figure out what type of sets you're doing, you know, it's a physical feat in this time, in this day and age. Everyone's trying to get some exercise anyway, so it was a fun watch.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, that is hardcore. Mike, I'm a ways away from Evan. Mike would remember this. Obviously, you wouldn't know. But there was a time where I would, during commercial breaks, get on the floor and do sets of 30 push-ups at a time. And I think the most I ever did during a four-hour show was maybe four sets, so 120 push-ups. To do that times, what was it? Did you say 2,400 over 12 hours?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. And he did it in 11 hours and 5 minutes. I mean, listen, he took rests, he did, but he started out strong, and it was, let me tell you something, it was as entertained as I've been in weeks.
Well, one thing, with due respect to the greatness that is push-up challenges and NBA players playing video games, one thing that is out there to bet on that I just read about today is when real sports come back. And I saw, Evan, minus 175. I saw this in an article in the Las Vegas paper. Minus 175 from BetOnline on Major League Baseball to play before August 1st. And minus 140 for the NBA and NHL to not do that. I actually was like a little bit encouraged by the baseball line. Like, I just have been sort of thinking it's all going away. But so that made me feel good for a minute. What do you think of those numbers?
So I think we have to look at sports as a whole for a second and take it sport by sport. I mean, when you look, I think golf is going to be the first to really come back in full swing with or without fans, most likely. But to me, that's the easiest way and the easiest sport to probably get that introduction back, and it probably be the safest. I think the other one, which has been talked about for a little while, is NASCAR. I know they're doing their iRacing right now, which is actually doing incredibly well. But I think those two sports will be where you kind of see the beginning. MMA, UFC, I mean, I think those are also, I mean, they're playing those in other countries as well. I think when you talk about baseball, I think baseball has a much better chance than, say, hockey. I think hockey, in my professional opinion, is, you know, probably 5-10% to play a season, 15% maybe. I think the NBA is going to do whatever they can to have a champion, whether that's a mini tournament, whether that's, you know, continuing with the playoffs pushed back. I think there's also a good chance the NBA shifts their calendar a little bit. I know there's been a lot of talk around that, so I think that'll kind of walk their way into this, whatever they end up finishing this season. But I think baseball in August, it's about right, because I think what we're talking right now, when I don't know if you guys heard this, but with college football, like, we need to go at July 1st, basically, to even have a chance to start the year. And I just think college is going to get delayed, because I think July is a little early. So I think that's why the NFL is so confident with September, and I think that August date is pretty good, but it really depends. It really depends on what we see over the next few weeks, especially with these bigger sports that need more than, say, golf does.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that. I let's ask you the big football question we were talking about earlier. It seems that it might be possible to sequester the NFL somewhere. All the players, all the coaches. I don't know if it would be, you know, I doubt it would be unanimous. I don't know if they'd get approval from the union or anything like that. I'm not talking about that. But it seems like it might be possible to do it. Would they do it? Like, if you say July 1st about college football, that makes sense. The NFL has some date like that. And who's to say, right? Like, do we have a vaccine yet? Probably not. Are we still seeing parts of the country that are fighting against some of these new standards? Probably, maybe. So do you think the NFL would take that step?
I think, I'm not breaking any news here. The NFL is a bit of a different animal than any other league, and I think this is uniquely placed where the NFL is the furthest event out of the major sports, where they don't have to make a decision yet. Like, something like the draft is easy for them to accomplish remotely, while everything kind of after that is a headache. So I think the NFL, when it comes to September, will do everything in its power to go on as scheduled with business, because I think that's what they do all the time anyway, and that's kind of the way they treat their games, their players, and their league. Like I said, I'm not breaking news here, but I'm pretty sure that the NFL will go on as scheduled unless there is a second wave, a different event, something like that to kind of alter our thinking a little bit. But I think September is a decent amount of time away. Now, whether that league happens with fans, without fans, in sequestered cities, in one city, in four cities, I think the NFL has enough time as well, where they're not the NBA. They're not scrambling right now to try to figure out a lot of logistics. They're planning right now on probably a bunch of different plans for that time. I think they're going to figure it out.
Yeah, let's hope. Let's hope. We were looking at the first NFL season with a team in Vegas. I think there might be a scenario where they're all in Vegas, maybe, because I think, you know, they could be that could be a good spot where there are tons of hotels and they could sequester everybody. But I don't know if it's feasible. It just seems like it might be possible, as I said. All right, Evan. Well,
you guys see? I mean, there was also one more thing. I mean, you guys see that the Big Three is trying to do that as well, right? Ice Cube had come out a while ago, and that league had talked about doing and they were really the first league to come out and try it. So, I mean, they're attempting to try to do some sort of reality show where they have their entire league stay in, like, one house and try to play games. I think it's dangerous and ambitious, but it's being talked about, so I'm sure the league can discuss it as well.
Yeah, and, you know, you could look at this logically from either side that, say, football, where the franchise values are the highest, more like maybe Premier League in England, which is shut down, of course. There's so much money being lost in the franchise values if there aren't games. But, you know, hockey might be such that the franchise values, where they're smaller, it could be just more desperate. Bulldog and I have talked about that a lot. Like, hockey put a quarantine date of April 15th. I'm joking that it seems like on April 15th they could move it to April 16th. I mean, I think they're driven to play. I don't know if it'll be possible, but I bet they really want to.
Yeah, but my biggest issue with hockey has always been they're not innovative.
Well, that's right.
Like, they really need to step up and be a lead, to take a force here and say, hey, this is our plan, this is what we're doing, and let's do it. Because you're right, they're the one that need it the most, but I just have never seen them to be that innovative type. While the NBA is, you know, could come out with something out of left field and really take the lead like Adam Silver does.
Right. Very good. Evan, thanks for your time as always. Hang in there. We'll talk next week.
Enjoy it, guys. Be safe and be well.
Evan Abrams, Action Network on WGR. We do that Fridays at 4:30 Eastern, usually. All right. Rachel's Fresh Picks coming up.
Oh, my.
Let me go get something.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure they're not catering us today, Rachel's. We love when they do, but, you're at home, and that has its perks, I'm sure. I like coming in. It's the same 8 people every time. It's this, we're at this point where most of the people you would see here on a given day are not coming in. So, you've got the couple, 2 or 3 news guys, a couple of DJs, Joe, me, that's a couple of managers. That's it.
Yep.
So
that's how it was when I left.
You said once, I miss seeing the faces. It's just the same few faces. There's not that many faces.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There's no crowd out there in the bistro area or
no.
Nothing. Yeah.
Not today.
Yesterday I went for the dog walk after the show. Aside from that, it's dawning on me sitting up here today. I can see my truck on the street, and it has not moved since last Thursday. Right? I've had no need to go anywhere to go get stuff, so I haven't been to the store. And really, until I took the dog for a walk around the neighborhood yesterday, I have not been anywhere besides this house for 8 days in a row.
Oof.
I might just go drive around after the show today. Just drive around. I don't know.
It's fine. I have wanted to do that. Definitely. We'll take a break. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. This is WGR.
Throwing goes, we don't have guys to throw to. We've got a couple of our buddies that we've been hanging with that we know where they've been, and we're not trying to practice social distancing, but we're doing a lot of spot throws, a lot of just off platform, and it's just maybe 5 guys out there with the rules of the 10 plus, but we're abiding by it and trying to be as safe as possible for ourselves and our families and everybody around us. As far as working out goes, we found a garage that we were working out in. Obviously all the gyms are closed. Again, it's just a close network of people that we try to stay around and try to limit the contact to everybody else.
Josh Allen today, we talked about this with Sal earlier, how they're having these throwing sessions. But, aren't we all not touching things other people just touched? Think about if you have a food delivery or something, they put it down, you pick it up, wash your hands, you're throwing a football around. Even that seems to be a little bit problematic. I think maybe what you do here, Bulldog, is just, this is kind of, I mean, this would be funny. No one catch it, throw the ball
right.
At the spot and the guy runs to the spot, but he just lets it hit him or fall to the ground.
Right. He puts his hands out where they would be naturally and oh, I would have had that. Good throw.
Yeah. Only Allen ever touches the ball.
Right.
Right.
I saw some video of him yesterday. And look, I know there's no substitute for having real life people to throw the ball to and run routes and whatever, but of him just at the Bills practice field from, it was stock footage of him throwing into netting that were different sizes and at different distances away and whatnot. And I would think you could do a lot of that right now and not have any question about whether or not someone else is touching the ball or whatever. But
yeah, I wonder what kind of precautions they're taking. So anyway, good to hear Josh Allen and thumbs up to him for his donations. So far, good for him.
He's for sure.
He's just, when it comes to the people side of his job, he has done 100%. I mean, since he got here, right? Has he ever misspoken or misstepped or anything? He's really just nailed that.
Yep.
All right, we'll talk some more after sports. Rachel's Fresh Picks. I don't know. Hassan Whiteside. How do you like it in the NBA 2K tournament tonight? Of course, things are tough, but you can order from Rachel's using either their app or the website rachelsgrill.com. Fast food done different. That craving you might have if you've been in the habit of going to Rachel's like I have, the smells and just the healthy, good food, grilled chicken, grilled steak, and more, you can still experience that in your own home, rachelsgrill.com or using the Rachel's app. Delivery or pickup, both available. Free delivery, also 25% off for any healthcare workers or first responders who may want to tap in. Grilled chicken, grilled steak, pitas, wraps, rice bowls, lettuce bowls, all the veggies. Kalamata olives are a staple for me. The banana peppers, the pepperoncini, just bite the little piece off at the end, and then the juice is all on the salad and the dish. Great. Greek dressing, dill sauce, tzatziki, all of it available at Rachel's. If you're bored already with what you're eating, limited options, rachelsgrill.com. I love my Rachel's. You'll love your Rachel's too. Pick up and delivery options today at Rachel's.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.